by the move of the Spirit. So Friday, I took us into the prophetic agenda on the garden, the move of the Spirit. Yesterday, we looked at the move of the Spirit in the Gospels. Today, I want to look at the first class action in the move of the Spirit. If you look at all the ones we've looked at hitherto, they've been one individual or the other. It was never a class action. It was never a group of people like what happened on the day of Pentecost. So it was on the day of Pentecost for the first time that there was a class action in the body of the believer. The body of the believers, I beg your pardon, where people came together to experience the move of the Spirit. And that was what gave birth to the church age. And that is why it is very, very significant for us to look into that, because that is the beginning of the dispensation that you and I are part of, so that we know what exactly the Holy Spirit is saying at such a time as this. And I want us to go back again to Joel chapter number 2. You know, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and one of the things I said significantly yesterday is that there is no mystery again anywhere. Anything you cannot investigate that's not cited or referenced in the Word of God is not spiritual, it's religious. Everything that is spiritual can be investigated, can be understood. And like we said yesterday, Luke, our beloved doctor, did not find it difficult to investigate the events of Scripture that happened in his time. And he was able to write two solid books. He wrote the Gospel according to St. Luke, and he wrote Acts of the Apostle that we're considering this morning. And this guy was not an apostle. He was just a medical practitioner who was interested in looking at the literature reviews around him and wanted to instruct another guy by the name Theophilus. So Luke is beginning to show us that when it comes to the understanding of spiritual things, they are so simple that you don't even need to be a preacher for you to do investigative journalism or to begin to look at what is available in the environment and begin to make sense out of those things. That when people cannot make sense out of those things, that is the beginning of mysticism, that's the beginning of religion. And that is on the basis of, that's how religion thrives. Because somebody will now begin to tell you that there's one mystery somewhere, and people cannot, by the power of the Spirit, intelligently understand the algorithm of how things are in the scheme of things. So if a doctor who was not a preacher and a theologian understood it and was able to put it in 24 chapters in Luke and was able to put it in another 20-something chapters in the book of Acts of Apostles, then those of us who are here, who have been studying the Word, it should not be difficult to decode and understand spiritual things, because a doctor made us to understand that these things can be investigated, these things can be verified, these things can be studied, these things can be understood, that there is no mystery around the move of the Spirit in between Jesus, John the Baptist, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, that a doctor cannot look at and begin to make sense out of those things. That when we get to a point that spiritual things are now looking mysterious, then we begin to get into the value chain of religion, and that is not going to bless anyone. And that's why when Jesus came, the first thing he said, and he started making us to understand, was what? The mysteries of the kingdom of God. And he looked at the disciples, he said, these things are no longer mysteries, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To those who are outside, those things are mysteries. But for you, and in order for him to decode some of those things, he began to liken what is happening in the realm of the Spirit into something in the environment. So Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not like angels dancing before God and bringing forth certain mysterious things that we cannot articulate as human beings. That when you see a farmer going to the farm and he's sowing a seed in his farm and some are falling by the wayside, that is the kingdom of God. When you see 10 virgins who wanted to keep an appointment, you want to keep a job appointment, and you don't take extra oil, and in the process, the bridegroom delayed and the oil finished, and those who did not have extra needed to go and buy, Jesus said, that is the kingdom of God. When you see a guy whose startup capital is 5 and he was able to turn it into 10, when the other guy is bearing his own, thinking the kingdom of God is some mysterious intervention that by the time he buries that talent, something will just happen mysteriously, that the talent that is buried will just be multiplied. Unfortunately, that is where a lot of people in the church are. We are of this opinion that, look, let's act anyhow. That there is no intelligent algorithm or trajectory when it comes to the things of the Spirit. That you can just do anything and do it anyhow. And at the end of it all, everything will add up. And you know what the master said to him? He said, this is the mindset that is called laziness and wickedness. He looked at him and said, you are a lazy and a wicked servant. So when people don't intelligently follow the things of the Spirit, the signal you are sending to the Lord is that you are lazy and wickedness. And it is in an atmosphere of laziness and wickedness religion can thrive. Because that is the atmosphere where instead of people accepting responsibility for their destinies, people will not believe there is one enemy somewhere that is responsible for their predicament. So people just believe there is something mysterious somewhere they can't understand. And you know, the same way also, you see people, when it comes to their personal finances and what they are doing in their lives, they just believe that mysteriously one money will just come from somewhere. That somewhere God will just bless them. Do you know when that guy was bearing that talent? He was so sure. He looked at the master. He said, you are a mysterious being. You reap where you have not sown. That means the guy never believed that there is intelligence in sowing and reaping. He just felt that the master had a way of just reaping anyhow. Meanwhile, when the master came, he said, the least you would have done with my money was to have put it in the bank. So the master is saying, even in the banking system, there is intelligence there. But here you are, that means the master understood banking system. The master understood bonds. The master understood treasury bills. And the master is saying, look, wealth is not multiplied by just praying spiritually. That there are structures on the earth that can help you to multiply your wealth. That at least you should have put it in one of those structures. Instead of just burying it and praying in tongues and fasting and hoping that what is buried mysteriously will just become ten. If you get out of the mystery lane and you get into the mastery lane, then you are following the leading of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is there to decode this thing. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So anything that cannot be searched, that cannot be understood intelligently by the reason of the Holy Spirit that is in you, is no longer a spiritual thing, it's a religious thing. And a lot of people are on that religious lane. And you know what the master now said to him eventually? He said, this guy is an unprofitable servant. That means within the value chain of profit, there is work, there is industry, there is diligence. But you see, within the value chain of mysticism, all those things are circumvented. If you look at all the parables Jesus gave about the parables of the kingdom, what do you see? Work, industry, innovation, common sense. Because when he said, when he gave them the 2 talents, the 5 talents, the 1 talent, he didn't say anything to them. But after some time, the Bible says he came. And they wanted to know how much each one made. And this is what people don't like. Because you see, in church, if you are giving 5 and you bury it, church can overlook it. You say, let brotherly love continue. But in the kingdom, you have to give account. In the kingdom, you have to give account. You have to give account. So every opportunity God has given to you that is kingdom great opportunity, you have to give account. And people don't like to be accountable. Because under mysticism, you should not be accountable. Because after all, you can just be going on the street now and you just become a billionaire. And that is why somebody will now meet you there. And this is how charlatans thrive in church. So they meet you. They know you want to become a billionaire. So you now say, you know what? In order for you to become a billionaire, you need to come somewhere. And you now go there. And they now say, and you see Christians. They now say, okay, in order for you to become a billionaire, we're going to send you a text message. And you must forward it to 50 people. And you now start harassing those 50 people. If you don't want to die, forward this message. Or they say, type 3 amens and your breakthrough is in the next 12 hours. You see, we are laughing now. Some of us do some of those things. We are like, you say, after all, let's try. What of if? So if your Christianity is still what of if? What of if it works? And that is why believers do MMM, believers do some of those things, because we don't believe in this certain edge. And that is why faith is not thriving, because we don't even know what we believe. So any little thing, like for example now, if somebody is walking with the Spirit and is gunning for high finances, there are certain things you won't do. There are certain seeds you won't sow. Some of those seeds is because people are greedy. Because you have an understanding of how finances work. It's no longer a mystery. And the first understanding you have about that is that 50% of offerings given are not acceptable by God. I need to calm down. I need to say that again. The first two people that gave to God were Cain and Abel. God rejected Cain's own and accepted Abel's own. So even from the first offering given, 50% rejected, 50% accepted. The first time man gave an offering to God, he didn't accept both. Because one was not rooted in faith. One was rooted in faith. It was when we now got to Hebrews 11, we now understood why God accepted Abel's offering. By faith, Abel offered. So when people don't offer in faith, it's not accepted. You are just wasting your money. Especially if it is greed that is driving your offering. You come into the New Testament also. In Acts 5, the first time was also recorded that a couple gave, two people. Who gave first? Barnabas sold land, accepted. Afterward, Ananias and Sapphira sold land also. So you could see also in Acts of Apostles, somebody sold land, brought the money. A couple sold land, brought the money. Somebody's money to church resulted in blessing. Somebody gave an offering, it resulted in debt. What did both of them do? They sold land and they brought the money. But Ananias and Sapphira kept back part of it. That means, look, once you understand God and how these things flow, there's no point keeping back part of it. What is for God is what is for God. And all these, I mean, things going on about tithing is to make people of God to get into another mystery, not mastery. Because if you understand the mastery of finances, you will know that tithing belongs to God. And you should not be part of those who are debating that. Because that means a lot of people who are big tithers before suddenly stop tithing because somebody said it is wrong. So we don't even know what we have believed. So what we are saying is that the things of the Spirit are very intelligent, smart, like your smartphone. They are not things that are clumsy. Once you cannot explain it or investigate it, articulate it, reference it or cite it in the Word of God, it is not a spiritual thing. It's a religious thing. Once you feel that your breakthrough is attached to one prophet somewhere or to one meeting somewhere, these are the problems. You have to have a personal walk with the Spirit. You have to have a personal walk of faith. And we also said, I'm just giving some of the record of some of the things we've said, it is important for you to understand that this is the blessing of Abraham. Galatians 3:13 and 14. The blessing of Abraham is the ability to walk by faith, and at the same time, your faith walk is linked to a dimension of the Holy Spirit. He said that we by faith might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. We might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. That is the blessing. That means as we are walking by faith, we are also conscious of the ministry of the Spirit. And once you can combine those two forces in whatever you are doing, that is the blessing of Abraham. That means you can't be walking by faith and at the same time you're under the leadership of the Spirit and be frustrated and be broke. But when people don't have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, how are you led? How are you led? Other things will lead you. You'll be led by opportunities. And when people are led by opportunities, this is what you get. You become a victim of all these charlatans in the church everywhere, just saying things, saying stuff, calling God for you, having gospel numbers. What's going on here? So, you need to get the teachings of day before yesterday and yesterday so that we can get into the flow today. Now, Joel 2. Let me also say up front that we're going to spend a great time here. After all, today is the last day. the great day of the feast. Now let's get to Joel 2. I'll try to make it snappy so that we don't drag it. Now, if you read Joel 2:28, please, can they help us to take care of the kids? Joel 2. If you read the beginning of Joel 2, what does it say? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Let me teach us some fundamentals of how to study the word. When on the day of Pentecost, Peter just quoted about four verses in Joel 2. If you really want to understand the spirit of Pentecost, read the entire chapter. Peter just quoted from it to show us that that is where he's emphasizing. But the whole value chain is the whole book. As a matter of fact, don't just read chapter 2, read the entire book of Joel. But because we don't have time, I want to limit it to chapter 2. If you begin to read chapter 2, then the beginning of the prophecy that gave birth to the move of the Spirit in the New Testament, you will realize that God was up to something. And what was he up to? He wanted to raise a special force, which we call special hops in the military. An elite corps. The kind of army that is invincible. If you read it, it said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. So that means that operation is tagged Operation Day of the Lord. That means the whole essence is that God wanted to raise his own special forces. That wherever they go, nobody can defeat them. Special envoys, commissioned. And if you begin to read, you begin to see that the Bible says a fire devours before them, behind them a flame burns. The land is like the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Nothing shall escape them. Can you imagine? Their appearance is like an appearance of horses. These guys have got horse power. And like three seas, so they run. With a noise like chariots, over the mountaintop they leap. Like the noise of a flame fire that devoured the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them, the people are rich with pain or faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in his formation. They do not break ranks. So in this army, there is ranking. In the kingdom of God, there is ranking. They do not break ranks. Did you see? They do not push one another. There's no room for competition. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they launch between the weapons, they are not caught now. That means they are so powerful that if you attack them, you are just wasting your time. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall, they climb the houses, they enter the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark. And so on and so forth. Why was this the introduction? That means the whole essence of the move of the Spirit in the church age is for every believer to be enlisted into the army of God. That means the whole essence of the outpouring of the Spirit at the New Testament great is to raise an army for the Lord. A powerful army that can execute his agenda on the earth without being injured. If you read it, because of time, if you have time, please read these things yourself. And you see the kind of army God is trying to raise. Before Joel now began to prophesy, so it's an army. So that means the whole essence of the outpouring of the Spirit in the New Testament is not to make you comfortable. It's to remove you from that civilian mindset and put into you and enlist you in the army of God, just like Paul told Timothy. You know, it was in the same vein Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Nobody that worried
does what? With the affairs of this world, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. That's a mindset. Have you thought about the naval seals in the US? Those are the guys who took down Osama bin Laden. You know, they have some rules. Number one, you must not leave a seal behind. It does not matter. Even if all of you will die, you have to go back and pick the other guy. Because, you see, the mindset... Look, I watched some videos about their trainings. So if God is raising this army, that means the whole essence of the outpouring of the Spirit in the New Testament is to train you. And stop behaving like a civilian. There is no bloody civilian in the kingdom of God. You are trained. I mean, for some of us, maybe the greatest exposure we've had to the regimented lifestyle of soldiers was NYC. And those 3 weeks, some of us almost died. Because you can't understand why you wake up in the morning and all you are just, I mean, and you have a regimental sergeant major there, just, I mean, making your life difficult for you. But you see, they are trying to instill something, discipline. So the whole essence of the ministry of the Spirit is to train you. Because you're already enlisted into this elite corps. And elite corps is not just mouth. You can't just say, I'm a member of the UN. It's the training you go through. And those trainings are very, very difficult. And we're going to get there shortly. Guess what? One of the things... When there was an interview, TED Talk, and one of the ex-naval seals was just talking to him. He said, what is the first training given to you guys? And it's amazing. He said, when you get to the camp, the first training given to you is to train you how to talk. Because once you are enlisted into the army of God, you must know how to talk. How to talk. So they open up for them communication rules. There are things you must never say. You can never say, I'm tired or I'm frustrated. Then they showed us a video of how they were trained. So they tie their hands behind them, tie their legs, and throw them into a deep river. And you know the time they will remove you? When you are almost dead. You know what they are trained there for? 18 hours they are under the water. They are trying to train them that if the situation we demand that you hide under water for 18 hours. Start learning it now. So when they get into some territories, in order for them not to be discovered, you know what they do? You plunge into the water and you are there for 24 hours. Ask Apostle Paul. For 24 hours, he was in the deep. So he's been trained to show that this army is true. They stoned Paul. They stoned him like this. He died. Believers stood around him. He rose again and went back into the city. So welcome to the training manual of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the whole essence of the new covenant outpouring of the Spirit. Once you are a partaker of it, you can no longer be a civilian. So all you need to ask God is that, where is my duty post? I'm going to report there. Just like they hand us NYC certificate. And you now go to places you have never been to. When I got my own, of course, the Holy Spirit revealed to me I was going to serve in Cross River State. So I knew from them I was in 300 level. So I used to tell the fellowship, I said, guess what? When I cross the river, I will say amen. And I told them, because the Holy Spirit revealed to me, I'm going to serve in Cross River State. And lo and behold, without doing anything, the call up letter came out, Cross River State. So I went to a place called Obubra. You know what? I couldn't say Obubra. What's that? I had to report because I've been enlisted. You see, the reason why there's collateral damages everywhere is that because there are outposts, people have refused to report because they have not been trained sufficiently to report. So what we are saying this morning is that it is not fun to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are enlisted into the best army in the world. So stop behaving like a civilian. Be conscious of the fact that you have a duty in the scheme of things, and if you don't have that mindset of a soldier, it's just that I didn't meet with multimedia people. I would have told them to put the image of Jack Bauer and James Bond on the screen for me. If they can still do that, I'll appreciate it. The greatest image that is coming to my mind is Jack Bauer. That means to prevent Gridenko, the Russians, from detonating a nerve gas on the U.S. soil, one elite corps member must be trusted by the entire U.S. government. Is that the way God can trust us? That the president will just say, get Bauer for me. And once the president said, Bauer, we just received this intel. Bauer never failed United States government once. Even to the point of death. That's what the mission of the Holy Spirit is all about. That there's only one agenda. That is extension of the kingdom of God. And wherever you find yourself, you know that is your duty post. Even when Bauer ran away, this is an example, and he became a fugitive in London, and he heard that the U.S. president might be attacked in London, he had to re-enlist himself to stop the attack. Same with James Bond, MI6, MI5. So there's a problem. Who did they call? James Bond. That is why, you see, it is this elite corps members who are trained in the use of the latest weapons. You see, some of the weapons people are using for spiritual warfare in church are outdated weapons. So when they bring forth a new weapon, they don't train the whole army. It's the elite corps. Because they are the ones that can undo. You see the way people do spiritual warfare, you know that they are still using dead gun. Shakapula. You know that. When nowadays there is. You see the way some. You know that they don't know that weaponry, the weapons of our warfare, they are not at this level again now. There is drone now. There is unmanned drone. There's intercontinental ballistic missiles that you can launch in Korea and it will land in America. So they have to have a meeting with Korea. Because once you have some kind of weapons, the U.S. president must respect you. That means you have joined the big boys club. And that's why when many of us are praying, even the way you speak in tongues, you know that these tongues are low grade, kind of local weapon kind of tongues. But when you see a guy who has gone through the training of the Spirit, whose spirit man is matured, even the way he speaks in tongues, you will know if you are his neighbor and you are downstairs, you will know there is authority somewhere there. How many of you have neighbors like that? By the time it starts in the morning, you are like, oh, guy on top. Whereas some other people, you see them, you know the engine is gone. You know that there is no training in the use of latest weapons. I'm serious about what I'm saying. You can ask the gathering demoniac that when the spirit of a man is strong, it will influence his environment. That guy was possessed by an unclean spirit. They put a physical chain on him, he broke it. You don't understand? That means when the spirit of a man is strong, you can't tame him physically. That means any weapon that is physical, The spirit is stronger. A strong spirit is stronger than a physical shackle. So the people did not understand that this guy is strengthening his inner man by an evil spirit. So they were trying to bind him. And the guy is saying, I am free in the spirit. So you can't bind me physically. And that's what the Bible said, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So if the spirit is strong, your body does not have any choice but to cooperate. And that's what Paul was praying. He said, this training is that we must be invigorated with dynamis in the inner man. With power. So they put chain. The guy broke it. They put shackles. He broke it. You try and break a chain. And you know, in those days, it kind of... It's called shackles. Shake. That they use. It's not like this modern one. Heavy duty. And the guy, the Bible said, put it apart as he was tearing paper. Then one man, Jesus now commanded the evil spirit to leave him. To show how powerful the spirit of a man can be. One is yielded to the influence of another spirit. This time a negative spirit. Because at times by looking at the negative, we can learn some lessons positively. When the guy unleashed, what was in his spirit? A whole value chain of pedigree ended that day. You don't understand? The guy just opened up what was inside him. People love their businesses. Pigs just had them misbehaving. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the pig just started running violently. The Bible says, down the disco, and they went to choke in the sea. Because somebody said, let me unleash. So you could imagine if it was not a clean spirit. So that means if an unclean spirit can end a business, a clean spirit can start one. That if you can just release what is inside here. And that is what this training is all about. That the Lord is saying, see the picture, I'm raising an army here. The guy shut down a whole value chain of pigry. Herders lost their businesses. Those who are buying pig meat, they couldn't buy pork that day. Bacon, no bacon. Those who are doing sausage, no sausage. You can imagine the entire value chain shut down one day because somebody brought out what was inside. The spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord. And all that the Holy Spirit is just saying is that I want to train you. That you see, that you can be trained. Now let's look at the training manual. The first thing about the training manual is this. Now, you know, I'm trying to do a series of teaching of about 14 weeks in one day. So it's difficult, isn't it? I have a difficult assignment, but I'll try. Everything I taught day before yesterday and yesterday took us how many weeks in Lagos, Pastor Murray? Almost like 7 weeks now of both Tuesday. So almost 14 teachings, what I'm trying to compress into an hour of teaching. So it's difficult. So I want to challenge us, go to our website and download the messages. They're free. Now in verse 28, and as I'm talking about where I had to jump because of time, Peter quoted from. But I'm going to quote it a little beyond Peter to the end. Look at verse 30. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. We're looking at the training manual. Blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and also day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And the Lord said among the remnants whom the Lord calls. Look at verse 30. Please give it to me on that screen. I will show wonders in heaven and the earth. Let's stop there. On the day of Pentecost, I'm still going to go back to Acts 2 now. What were they declaring? The wonderful works of God. So the first training in flowing with the ministry of the Spirit is this. You cannot be flowing with the Holy Spirit and be declaring what you see. You only declare the wonderful works of God, regardless of what you are seeing. Remember the Navas who said the first training is how you talk. That is what is called authorized. That means I'm seeing failure. It's so obvious this is failure. But what do I declare? The wonderful works of God. Because God said, as a result of the outpouring, I will show wonders in heaven. Once you cite what God is doing, and there's a contradiction with respect to what you are seeing, declare what God has shown. Is somebody there? Pastor Esther, is it making sense? So it doesn't matter what you are seeing. It's called utterance. Thank you. They're making my job easy so I can be climbing. Thank you very much, sir. Bless you. Wonderful works of God. They were declaring it. So it does not matter what you are seeing. Look, the first thing the Holy Spirit did was to grant unto them a programming language. That means in this training, there's a programming language. The programming language is that we don't say what we see. We only declare the protocols of God to override what we are seeing. And it's always the wonderful works of God. That is what the Holy Spirit is bringing to the fore, is that it does not matter what you are seeing about that situation. There is an unseen side of it that is a work of God that is wonderful. It's called utterance. Utterance is a spirit-energized communication. Spirit-influenced communication. That means you don't say things based on what you are seeing. You are saying things based on what the Holy Spirit gave to you to say. That means you are training your tongue not to say things the way things appear. But every time things are not going the way they should go, you are believing God for an energized communication. Because the Bible said they appeared unto them cloven tongues, and they started speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That means every time a believer is in a situation, believe me, the utterance of the Spirit is locking around. It's the energy you need in the room. That is what is coming as a mighty rushing wind, so that your communication dynamics is activated at the level of the wonders of God. That's the first training. When last did you declare the wonderful works of God concerning your finances? So is it to say I'm broke? That means the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, you are broke, but there's a wonderful works of God there. That this is the spirit of resurrection. That, look, the only way God can stop the works of the enemy in any life is to introduce you to you the power of resurrection. Because that is the only thing the enemy does not have control over. And Christianity is the only faith that tells you there's a possibility beyond death. So once people accept death, like Mary and Martha, they start saying the wrong things. Meanwhile, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. But because most of the time when the Lord is speaking, he doesn't speak English. We didn't hear what I said. So at times it's very difficult to understand the Lord when you want to understand him through your understanding of GNS or GES, use of English. Because when he said this sickness is not unto death, he never said he will not die. Oh, you didn't hear me. What he said in the spirit is that this sickness will not end in death. That means it's going beyond death. You don't understand. So once utterance is not given, you will want him to heal the sick when he wants to raise the dead. So because in his mind he wanted to raise the dead, so of a necessity Lazarus must die. Because he was not going to heal Lazarus, he wanted to raise Lazarus. So he waited until the sickness got to death. But he already said, this sickness is not unto death. That means beyond death, something is going to happen. And he needed to say that because that is what utterance is. You must say it. Look, this, why was it that the first thing God did on that day of Pentecost was to change their tongue? That means the most important tool in flowing with the ministry of the Spirit is your tongue. He must be programmed. He must be reprogrammed. Programmed to such an extent that the only thing he recognizes and he talks about are the wonderful things of God. I will show wonders in heaven and the earth. Blood. Why blood? Listen. The reason for the blood is simple. That it does not matter. You know the first wonder, God said wonders. He now said blood. Regarding religious wonders. That it does not matter what is happening to you as a believer. Because Christ shed his blood for you at Calvary, you're already more than a conqueror. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Start talking like an overcomer who has the blood factor on his side. That means the Lord is saying the ministry of the Holy Spirit will emphasize the blood. That you don't now think the reason why things are going bad is because God is angry with you, that God is fighting you. What is it that you have done wrong that the blood did not cover? That the blood did not cleanse, that the blood did not deal with. Because once the enemy can keep people in that mode, that the reason why this is happening is because God is angry with you. You remember that time when you cheated and you lied. That lie of 10 years ago is what God is judging now. That is a lie. That is anti-blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How again? By the word of their testimony. So whenever there is the application of blood and your testimony is accurate, you're an overcomer. Stop all these religious things people do. And you know, the blood is also an insurance. That it does not matter what you are going through as a believer, victory is guaranteed. Stop looking at the wrong things. Stop looking at the wrong things. The blood is insurance. It was shed for the remission of sins. So that means between you and God, sin can no longer be the issue. The issue is unbelief. Because the sin issue is dealt with. That is why the blood is still there crying. The blood is still there speaking better things than the blood of Abel. The blood is there. That means every time you look at your life and there's nothing better to look up to, remember the blood was shed. It's always speaking something better. It's always speaking something better. It's always challenging you that your life is better than this. That God has something better in the offering. Look at the next one, fire. Say, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will emphasize fire. Was that not what John said about Jesus? He said, this one is not just going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, he will also baptize you with fire. Now, what is that baptism of fire? Now, look at this. Please don't miss me here. That yes, whenever you are going through stuff as a believer, and it's a very difficult stuff, it is because, like John said about Jesus, he said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will separate the chaff from the wheat. He will gather the wheat into the barn and he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. That means every time we are going through a difficult setting, number one, remember the blood. That number one, there's already an insurance against that thing for you. Then number two, remember, it's also a baptizer of fire. In the sense that every time you are going through a difficult situation, that is God separating the wheat from the chaff. Do you understand? That is what people don't like. Don't forget that is an important part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, baptism of fire, so that the chaff is removed from the wheat. There are too many chaffs mixed with wheat everywhere. And for as long as God is seeing that mixture, he's saying the floor is not yet thoroughly purged. I have to purge the floor. I have to separate the wheat from the tares. I need to burn the tares. I need to keep the wheat. So one critical aspect of the ministry of the Spirit is process. You will be processed. So that the chaff will give way for the wheat. That is a baptism of fire. So fire is a factor. So at times, if God is keeping you there, you are praying, and it's as if nothing is happening, check. It might just be that season all that the believer is just going through. The baptism of fire. So that God can thoroughly purge the floor. Thoroughly purge the floor. Separate the chaff from the wheat. Now let's go to Acts 2 now. Having said all that, let's begin from Acts 1. I will get into 2. I'll just do a summary of this also because of time. Are you getting something this morning? Is that not what you do in the military training? To remove the chaff. They don't need all those excesses, all those chaffs. They throw it away. You go into NYC, they tell you that, yes, you might be a graduate, drop that at the gate. A primary school older soldier who is a private will begin to order you around. Because they are trying to get something out of you. It's chaff. We all came from university with a lot of chaff. And they don't, at that level, soldiers don't send you. All they are interested is to see the wheat. That's your cover. So at times, God is working on you by spirit. And he's removing the chaff. Because he must see a pure breed. It's called process. And many people understand my voice, and people watching, we know many of us still have a lot of mixtures. You are here, you are there, wearing different faces in different cases. One of the aspects of the ministry of the Spirit is the baptism of fire. It will thoroughly purge his floor. And that is why there are certain things God will not expose you to now, because he's still purging you. You are not yet thoroughly purged. If he should release you now into the future, it's like you won't fit in, you know. And we've seen that over and over again, that God blesses people, and at the end of it all, he loses them. So he's saying, this time I will thoroughly purge the floor. I will thoroughly purge the floor. I will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire, but I'll keep the wheat in the barn. That's the baptism of fire. That in all that we are going through, don't forget, the blood has already guaranteed your victory. So don't despair, don't be afraid. But number two, on the other side also, because there's insurance of the blood, God will also do his work in you. He will never skip that for anybody. So understand that, and that is very, very important, because it's raising an army here. Now look at Acts 1. They started. So what development started from Acts 1? What did they start doing? In Acts 1, the Bible tells us that in this army, the way the Lord is going to relate with this army is to issue commands. Get used to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not negotiate. Look at verse number 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, did what? Gave suggestions. Come on, let's read it together. After he, through the Holy Spirit, did what? Please read it for me. All that is on the screen. One, two, go, everyone. Aunt, I can't hear you. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given what? Stop. You know, that is one word we don't like in the church. Commandment. Write it down. The Holy Spirit is the commander in chief.
That is why you have to be used to this military way of doing things. Command. You know, the same ministry is command and what? Command and obey structure. It's command. And whenever it's commanded and you are now negotiating, you weaken the link. So what did he tell them this time? He commanded and he said, it does not matter what you guys are doing, go to the upper room. It was a command. See, get used to the language of the Spirit. It was a command. Do you know some obeyed? Some did not obey. It's the same today. He would have taught everybody. By the time he was given that commandment, there were over 500 disciples. But how many people made it to the upper room? 120. Because others just felt, what is this? Just like today too. But you see, once you miss out on his command, you begin to weaken the value chain in your own life. And he did just command them to go to the upper room. You know the first thing he did with them? He was with them for how many days? 40 days. So this training is serious. And that is why I want to encourage somebody to go on a 40-day detox program with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying fast. If you need to fast, fine. But it's not fasting. It's staying with someone. So Jesus first of all appeared to them and he was with them for 40 days. I mean, they had a 40-day convention. And he was teaching them every day. And guess all that he taught them? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That means Jesus went back again to all those parables, represented them. Everywhere he said the kingdom of God is like, he said, you guys did not quite get it. Let me bring it back. The parable of the sower, the parable of the talent, everything that has to do with the kingdom for 40 days. You know why? Jesus had to teach them kingdom culture, kingdom mindset, kingdom response, kingdom way of life. Because Jesus was trying to point something to them that it is only a kingdom-minded believer that can flow with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? 40 days of teaching for one day of encounter. So that means Jesus is saying, if you are going to maximize the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I must first of all teach you kingdom ethics. And for 40 days, you can imagine, kingdom 1, kingdom 2, until they got to kingdom 35, 35th day, 36th day, 37th day, and he didn't change the topic. And when it was now true, he said it's time to go, he just left. And the next thing, the Holy Spirit came. And Jesus said, look, I'm teaching you kingdom things, kingdom order. Because that is how you flow with the Spirit. So eventually, in chapter 2, No, let me also say something about chapter 1 before I move to chapter 2 because I need to close. As he was teaching them without mentioning anything to them, this is how we generate spiritual intelligence. One day Peter just stood up and Peter said, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture must be fulfilled that the Holy Spirit spoke about Judas. Do you know there was never anywhere? I want us to get used to the ministry of the Spirit. And please don't miss me here. There was never anywhere, even the Lord himself told them, appoint somebody to replace Judas. But what does the Holy Spirit do? As we begin to create latitude and allow him to be the Holy Spirit and allow him to take the lead, he tells us the next steps we need to take in the scheme of things. And guess what? He used the authority of the word. What he just did to Peter was to open the word. And Peter saw a Psalm David wrote. And for the first time, Peter said, look at it, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled. Because it was the Holy Spirit that spoke it before by the mouth of David concerning Judas. So that means the Holy Spirit will now begin to take us into the value chain of the word. And through the instrument of the word, we'll begin to navigate for us how to proceed in whatever we are doing. Any Holy Spirit that is flaky, that is just spirit, that is not rooted in the word, it's not the New Testament Holy Spirit.
That means the intelligence of the Spirit is derived from the ministry of the Word. So what does that mean? That means of a necessity, one of the trainings of the Spirit is to teach us how to study the Word. Because listen to me, based on that scripture, there is nothing you are looking for that the algorithm is not in the Word of God. You can go back to that psalm. We don't have time. Pastor Femi, Pastor Maureen, there was no mention in that psalm of Judas. But the Holy Spirit now told Peter, said, you see that scripture David spoke about 600 or 800 years earlier? It's because of Judas. So that means the Holy Spirit is saying there is nothing happening today that is not referenced in the Word of God. So what the Holy Spirit does is to bring the relevant word so that you now know how to proceed. You see, there is no breakthrough you are looking for that is not referenced in the Word of God.
Amen.
But the problem is, are you willing to study? And look at what Peter said. Give me the next part. Peter just said, for he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. But look at what he quoted. Now this man purchased and so on and so on. Move on to the next one. And look at what he said. Move on to the next one. I said, I'm a feet of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms. Now it was written. Write it down. The greatest resource in a move of the Spirit is the written word. Let his dwelling place be desolate and let no one live in it. That is one portion of the psalm. In another portion of the psalm entirely, he was able to join the two together. That means at times when the Holy Spirit is creating navigation for you in the Spirit, you know what he does? He takes you to Exodus and he concludes in Revelation. Because these are two separate chapters in the book of Psalms. His office, let another take. So the question is this: what is the one thing you need to do that you have not done for every other thing to happen? Because the Holy Spirit will not come until they were 12. And Jesus never said to them anywhere, appoint the 12th guy. But the Holy Spirit started leading them. As they were studying the word. In this army, believe me, if you are not a student of the word, you are missing out. And it's so sad that in the body of Christ today, a lot of believers don't know the word again. Beyond John 3:16, some people don't know any other portion of the Bible. Like I used to say when I was there as pastor, you want to do business, and I'm asking you, give me 7 scriptures on business. You don't know. So on what basis do you want to engage the business environment? Because immediately they came here, look at the next level of strategic intelligence the Holy Spirit revealed to them. Because at this level, everybody is qualified. So how did they choose? Look at what Peter said again. Therefore, of all these men, so women were shortlisted. We don't want women. Is that not intelligence of the Spirit? Because some women could have been saying, we want to be apostles too. Say, of all these men. Now, look at the emphasis. I just said that jokingly. Please don't take that serious. But look at the emphasis. Look at the emphasis. In the ministry of the Spirit, consistency will pay off one day. Of all these men who have accompanied us all the time. Some people accompany them some of the time. That the Lord went in and out amongst us. Some people were there today, they were not there tomorrow. So one day, consistency paid off. So that you come to uni today, you come to church, and another 3 weeks they don't see you, and you just stroll in again. And it's not that you travel, and it's not work related. You are just this kind of person that you don't like organization. Or you want to prove to the system that nobody can control me here. You know, some people are like that. They are just rebellious to themselves. And they think they are doing it to the pastor. But if you're a very smart pastor, you just ignore them. Because they are trying to say, I can come anytime I want to come. I can go anytime I want to go. I can put in my service anytime I want to put it. You see, one day, the Holy Spirit will say, of all the people who have been coming all the time, you will now know that coming all the time is being registered in heaven. It's important. Now, some people were there, they joined late. Second thing, beginning from the baptism of John. So some people saw John and they despised him. They were supposed to have joined them. So those who were formerly John's disciples, who now became Jesus' disciples, started saying, oh, well, thank God, we began from John. So we can say beginning from top ranks. Or beginning from Simon's suit. How many of us were in Simon's suit? Whoa, beginning from Simon's suit. That's where it just started from. But you know, John, to the day he was taken up, some people were there. But as he died, they were like, we don't understand again. So they fell short. They were not there the day he was taken up. That means what this story is telling us, that the Holy Spirit likes people who follow truth. Be thorough. Be thoroughbred. It's an army. Every time you show up, it's being ticked. Every time you don't show up, it's being ticked. And when they put all those things there, only two people qualified. Out of, if you remove the 11 from 120, what do you have? 109. That means 109 others did not qualify. I'm sorry, 107 others did not qualify. Only two. So I think it's something that has been with the church age, that people are not faithful or true. Because even in the early church, only two. I mean, you will have thought this is a gathering of 120 people, maybe like 50 people will qualify. Only two. Only two. But you know, there's something about the Holy Spirit. He will work with the two. That's the Holy Spirit for you. He will not say, because there are two, let's lower the standard so that more people can qualify. It's an army. The standard will never be lowered to encourage anybody. And as pastors and leaders, let's be careful. Once we begin to lower the standard, we are making Holy Spirit to begin to back off. Because it does not like standards being lowered. Because it's an army. Imagine U.S. is now saying, all these people were taken through the nervous system, they are complaining that the training is too difficult. So let's lower the training. You see, you will go to Gulf War, they will kill all of you. Because the standard per time is the demands of warfare per time. What I'm sharing with us this morning is very important. Because some of us, I fear where that church member, you just go, oh, Pastor is in town, let me go. Pastor is not in town, what's happening there? I go here, I go there. You see, these things are being noticed because it's an army. You can't just be behaving like a civilian. Imagine a U.S. soldier and he says, I'm tired, I'm going home. You can't do that. Oh, I'm tired of this Gulf War. Is this what we're going to be doing all our life? I want to go and eat pizza at home. You can't do that. Because the day you join the army, you sign that you are now a property of the United States government. Very important. So let's close. Acts 2 now. Let's give some of the background to those things to see that it's a training. So they were trained on how to obey commands. They were trained on how to look at literature, review intelligence in the world, gather intelligence from the world, and begin to make pronunciation. Then in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was ready for them. I'll just read one place here and we'll begin to pray. When the Pentecost had fully come, they all with one accord in one place. I said at the beginning of the teaching, now, whatever is true spiritually is also true strategically. It's true socially. It's true in your love walk. It's true when you sit behind your desk tomorrow morning, Monday morning. That means socially and socioeconomically, you can cause your day of Pentecost to come. How do you do that? Separate yourself for 40 days and start studying materials in the direction you want to move. There will be a sound. Oh, you are not hearing me. But how many people are willing to pay the price? That means whenever a people separate themselves from the norm to begin to read literatures in the direction they want to move, quantum leaps will be generated. That means I want to start a line of business. Have you read? So as they were doing this, don't forget also that they were praying. They were studying. They were praying. They were studying. Unknown to them, they were generating energy in the spirit. And the day the material equivalent of that energy visited them was the day of Pentecost. Because the Bible said there came unto them mighty rushing wind. Filled the house, appeared unto each one tongues of divided flames of fire. And I said they were all filled. And began to speak with other tongues. As a roundup, for those of us who are businessmen, for those of us who are professionals, all the mobile young professionals, what the Holy Spirit does is to give you utterance, to speak in a language that you do not understand, or that is communicating something to those who understand that language. You don't understand. So if the Holy Spirit gave them a spiritual language, the Holy Spirit can also give you the language of commerce, the language of law, medicine, social order, whatever it is. That means what the Holy Spirit does is to reprogram your thought and the way you speak to speak at a level that can cause spiritual energy to be transmitted on the earth. There must be a frequency at which we speak. Language. When Joseph stood before Pharaoh, that is utterance. He spoke in the language of store, how to store products. He gave it an economic model. He said, we're going to do 20%, one-fifth. Gave it a mathematical model. Joseph possibly did not study economics and mathematics, but when the Holy Spirit begins to give you utterance, you begin to speak in a language that those who understand economics, it will make sense. The thing was good in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of all his servants, because they could see mathematical and economic sound model from what Joseph was proposing. So they bought into it. Utterance is the reason why your proposal will be accepted. Because beyond English, you are saying something. See, those guys were not speaking too many languages. They were speaking, but people were hearing them in their own languages in which they were born. And there's something about language. If you speak in my language, I will listen to you. You know, London is a place where I hear a lot of Nigerians speak Yoruba. A lot. In buses, everywhere. In fact, a very good example, my wife and I, we were in South Africa. And this man and woman, they were behind us. And they didn't know we were Yorubas. They thought we were South Africans. And the man and the woman, they were talking about how the man was sleeping with that woman. And how the woman, she was telling the man that her husband did not know this man, who's supposed to be the husband's friend in South Africa, he is sleeping with her, and they were playing with it. And the woman was not telling the man, I hope that's now you are also sleeping with other girls around you. You know, you are sleeping with me now. I hope you are not, because I've been seeing some girls around. And they were saying that in Yoruba. And Pastor Moya and I were sitting there. Can you imagine? And because in their wildest imagination, they didn't know where Yoruba is. And we all entered the bus together from the hotel. The bus was taking us to town. And they were talking about their escapade. And the woman was warning the man. He said, don't, if I see you with all those girls, say, I know you have been having something with them. A couple of us sat there. So when they wanted to get down, and I said, let me even look at, you know, we didn't look back so that they won't suspect us. The man I wanted to get up, guess what? Dressed like a typically religious person. No earring, no jewelries. And I'm like, religion cannot call me morality. Ties covered. I'm like, this is a woman talking. So I entered bus in London or train in London. You know, that's how to move in London. And you just hear people, how much yaba, and they're talking to themselves. And I'm like, whoa. What drew my attention? They were speaking in my language. There's a language your profession is looking for. The day you articulate it by the Spirit, they will hear you. And guess what? The Holy Spirit, first of all, demonstrated it to us how to do it spiritually. So that we can also do it strategically, socially, economically. Have you seen computer programming language before? What does it look like? It's tongues. Yeah. Oh, you are not here. Somebody not here. Can they give us one on the screen? Any programming language. You just see jargons. You can see question mark like 6. // at 111000. And you are like, what is it? So that means some people understood the language of IT. Gave utterance to it and gave us mobile phone. What produced your mobile phone? All this operating system on your phone. 111000 at all those jargons. You see, you call them jargons. But programmers can make sense out of those things. And to show that those things are sensible, they will now assemble those things. And you have this light that is turning. If you know what is turning this light, it's some set of numbers. It's called algorithm. That's why the light is turning. That's why you are looking at me on that screen. That screen is not a magic. It's just some numbers that is inside that projector that is making it to project. And because they got it so accurately, they can tweak those things, rearrange those numbers to do what they want it to do. So by programming language, you specify the behavior of a machine. You tell the machine how to behave. You program it. So the same way the Holy Spirit also says, I need to program you. It's called utterance. And as they were speaking, people gathered from everywhere. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ come upon us that level. That as you speak tomorrow, the day after, and henceforth, after this meeting, the nations will gather. Amen. Like what happened to the gathering demoniac, if you speak at the level of utterance, utterance is a barrier breaker. It does not matter the language those people are speaking. Once you start speaking by the Spirit at this level, they hear you. They hear you. You know, Peter and the rest of them, you know, it was just one language they were speaking. He said, are these not those who are speaking Galileans? How come we hear them in our own language? And they listed about many nations. So it wasn't that Peter was speaking Greek, Hebrew. He was just speaking, but a Greek man that was there was speaking it in Greek. Arab man that was there was speaking it in Arab. He was just speaking Galilean. But because it's an energized communication, somebody from Libya that was there picked it in his language. And they are like, these people are speaking Galilean. Give me that verse. Say, how come we are hearing them in our own language? That means it wasn't that they were speaking our own language, but we are hearing them in our own language. Because the language of the Spirit is universal. And that's why I round up on this note, keep on praying in tongues. Don't just pray in tongues, speak in tongues. You are going to a meeting, speak in tongues. You are coming out of a meeting, speak in tongues. You are going to your house, speak in tongues. When you are quiet or you are alone, pray in tongues. What are you doing? You are defying yourself. That means you are creating latitude in the Spirit for more intelligence to come into you. You are edifying yourself. You are enlarging yourself. You are building capacity in the Spirit for more to come. If ever the enemy wants to defeat a people, they'll start attacking their tongues. They won't have time. And if you're living in a city like Lagos, where everybody is busy, behind your steering, I'm driving from Ikeja to VI, I pray in tongues. If it's like that in Abuja, to pray in tongues. Keep on, keep on. Because it's a life on its own. It is a whole love, it's a world on its own. I beg your pardon. It's a whole lot. That means by all means, let us keep and sustain the momentum of the Spirit. I'd like you to rise up. Hallelujah. Did you get something this morning?
Yes, sir.
Even though I couldn't get into everything, but it's okay. There'll be another time. And the next time is going to be camp meeting. Hallelujah. Let me just say something about that before I begin to pray. Please, this year, don't miss the camp meeting. The date is October 25th to 28th in Lagos. The camp meeting is an annual meeting and is a peak meeting for the baptizing church every year. So you know the date now, October 25th to 28th, to start walking towards it, to be in Lagos. Believe me, it will blow your mind. The kind of lineup of speakers we have this year is out of this world. Please, once the registration portals open, and I believe it's going to open this week, start registering. Because we might only just be able to accommodate about 1,500 people. So please, don't wait, because that number can come up overnight because of the number of people who are going to give an opportunity to register. So we want you to register. At least make up your mind. You still have like 2-3 months now to plan. I want to be there. It's a Thursday to Sunday. Femi, you have to be there this year. You don't have any choice. Last year I wanted to come, but something happened. This year nothing must happen. You have to be there. Camp meeting. And guess what is the theme of the camp meeting? The ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit. That's the theme of the camp meeting this year. So it's going to be, look at me now, I'm in a hurry and I want to close, but camp meeting is camp. Nobody's going anywhere. When Pastor Bakari came last year, I taught for how many hours? 3.5 hours. Just one message. And it's because it's camp meeting. So nobody's in a hurry. And that's why we want it to be camp meeting. You know, I'm not looking at time and say, I have one appointment somewhere. Everybody's there. And feeding is free, accommodation is free. Just register. That's how it's going to be. Shall we lift up our hand and begin to pray in the Spirit this morning? Mama la prene yo sine de bo. Makash la prene ne kemo sine bo. Hold to your neighbor this morning. Can you hold somebody? Meli la preke de ba. Hold your neighbor. Masi la prene ne kemo sko pramshti. It was a class action on the day of Pentecost. It didn't come on individuals. It came on the whole group. It came on the whole class. And that is what we are reactivating and reenacting in this place this morning. And that's why you are holding somebody. That we are together in one accord. In one accord. Believing God for a move of the Spirit in Abuja. Believing God for a move of the Spirit in your life. Believing God for a move of the Spirit in your family. Believing God for a move of the Spirit in your business. Ready the demo sine ne komonine. Radaka sine mo. Radobo sine ne mo. Makado prende mo sine premo mo. Is somebody praying? Leti leli le probo sobrini. Kaba subradi. Emprado radu fasi. Now we declare this morning that for someone here, today is a day of Pentecost. Oh, today is that day where the energy required to move to the next level is infused into your spirit like a mighty rushing wind, where there is cloven divine tongues of fire.
utterance is given. I want you to begin to pray for that person, that utterance. Utterance. That energized communication to articulate spiritual things and give it an expression. To express spiritual energy in human language. To express spiritual phenomena and give it mathematical model, economic model. To be able to speak it for, be able to call it a name. The Spirit of the Living God. He's the Holy Ghost, the center of the God. He's the Holy Ghost, the power of the age to come. Everything is bringing everything. Spirit.